You're listening to Underground Sports Philadelphia.
Final time of 2018, unfortunately, but we only kicked this off last week, so we've got plenty more in store for you. But it is Eagles Saints post game right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia with Kyle Bennett and Connor Miles. Connor, the Saints, they did it again. They beat the Eagles, and our season's over.
It's really unfortunate, but it's not something that we should all head our hangs over, be upset about. Put our heads down for is what I meant to say there, but because this whole team just showed such a resilient effort to become coming down from a 6-7 record to into the division around the playoffs, actually winning a playoff game against the number one defense, they showed signs of resilience and fight, and the core of this group is still going to be there. We're still going to have a Carson Wentz, a Malcolm Jenkins, a Fletcher Cox. As long as they have that core group, this team is going to be in a competitive state. And I just know for a fact that Alshon Jeffrey is going to be the most motivated he's ever been in his career next season. I can't wait to see that unload with a healthy Carson Wentz at quarterback.
Yeah, Alshon's going to take his game to a whole new level. And, he does it again, plays through injury, according to Lane Johnson, playing through broken ribs. The guy goes and plays with a torn rotator cuff all of 2017 through the Super Bowl. And then he goes out and plays with broken ribs to try to win his team a trip to the NFC Championship game, and they fall just short because the ball slips through his hands. But no Alshon Jeffrey slander will be tolerated on Underground Sports Philadelphia or on my own personal timeline ever. He's just a dog, and he's arguably, the 1A wide receiver in Eagles history because of what he's been able to do in two seasons with this team. And like you said, when Carson Wentz comes back, it's going to be, as they say, comeback season for both of them, and they're going to be on a mission to get this team back to the Super Bowl.
Without question, they're in position to compete for a while. I think a lot of people are just down in the moment right now, but this team has really good youth on it. That offensive line, as long as Jason Kelce stays in, which from everything I've heard too, he is planning on playing next season. I know he admitted that he's considered retirement the past 2 to 3 years personally, but it doesn't sound like he's going to retire after this season. It'll be interesting to see what they do at left tackle, though, for sure, because I definitely think we've seen Jason Delasso, Jason Peters in Eagles uniform.
Yeah, and Jason Kelce said that he's going to take each season from here on out as year to year, and I don't anticipate him retiring after this year, especially, not going out as Super Bowl champs again. I think that's something Jason Kelce would want to do. Would just hang it up as soon as the Eagles win another Super Bowl, potentially, a year or two from now. But I agree, too, with Jason Peters. I think we've seen the last of him, and it'll be definitely interesting to see if it's Big V or if they make a move for another left tackle, if they draft one. One thing that I was kind of upset about from yesterday's game plan, though, was one thing we did against Chicago was even if the run game wasn't working, we kind of stuck with it. Doug was, pretty even in that first half with 11 runs to 12 passes, and then in the second half it goes to 17 passes and 3 runs, and you're up still going into that second half. But what were your thoughts on kind of just getting away from the run, and did you agree with it? Did you disagree? What were your thoughts on that?
Here's the thing is that was a testament to Drew Brees and the high-octane offense of the New Orleans Saints. The Eagles knew they couldn't win a shootout with the Saints going in. Wendell Smallwood, I thought he started off well enough for the player of his caliber. But I do get turning away from the run just due to the fact that you saw Drew Brees starting get with Michael Thomas, get the passing game going. You knew what kind of day it was going to be with that kind of quarterback. It's not, you're not paying Mitch Trubisky in his first playoff game. You're playing a seasoned veteran, and honestly, what I believe is a top five quarterback of all time in Drew Brees. So you have to change the game plan up there a little bit. And the run game is just not working. The Saints have the number two ranked run defense for a reason. They really forced more passes than people want to acknowledge of Peterson's game plan. I have no problem with how he called the game, to be honest with you. It just wasn't their day. The game really fell through their hands, literally, when the ball dropped out of Alshon and Jeffrey's hands. I'm proud. I mean, I thought that everything – I can't really criticize anybody. I mean, I know everybody else wants to find someone to blame for this, but come on. I mean, they had, like, the most – they weren't supposed to be here. That's the number one seed Saints for a reason. Like, well, you have to tip your hat to your opponent at the same time, but – the Eagles showed that they're going to be here to compete for a while. They have a stable head coach. I know Jim Schwartz frustrates people, but that bend and don't break mentality is what made these young guys, these deaf guys, come in and play pivotal roles in orchestrating this run to the divisional round. So I know it's an upsetting time as a fan, but it's hard to really hang your head down after all this stuff. Like I said, I basically keep going around in circles, but I do understand why they kind of abandoned the run, because you have to keep scoring. You don't want to just let Drew Brees get the ball back on offense so much, because he was already starting to pass the whole part of that defense.
I agree, and you know, I thought they could have run it a little bit more consistently and kind of, you know, use some of the clock when they were still up to, you know, run the clock down a little bit. But I agree. I think they had to start passing a little bit more than they were. And then it just ended up, like you said, slipping through their hands. But I have to give a hat tip to Jim Schwartz, because his career historically, he's terrible against the Saints. I believe coming into this game, in four or five games that he's coached against the Saints, whether he's a head coach or a defensive coordinator, his defenses have given up over 40 points a game, and there was one game where they gave up 31. Holds this Saints team to 20 points with, you know, that skeleton, you know, makeshift defense. I thought Jim Schwartz had a fantastic game plan for this one. It sucked when you kept seeing players go in and out of the game with Fletch consistently coming off the field with an injury. And, you know, it came out today when the players were clearing their locker room, as we're recording this on Monday. He was in a walking boot. Nigel Bradham was in a walking boot. You saw Michael Bennett go out for some periods of time. So, you know, a lot of injuries happened in that game, whether they were minor or major, and obviously the most major being Brandon Brooks, which we'll touch on as well. But, you know, I thought Jim Schwartz had a hell of a game, and arguably his best game of the season.
I agree. I mean, you saw Josh Hopkins was out there, and a lot of people were, like, Googling who the hell that guy was. Yeah.
He's been here for a month.
Exactly. So, given the circumstances of the situation, I thought Jim Schwartz called a great game. Like, you're playing in. I think a lot of people could struggle, always want to find, like, scapegoats and who to blame for not winning because the Eagles were the Super Bowl champions. But the truth is, that Saints team was a number one seed for a reason, and they really competed as a number six seed against that number one seed. And that's just what it is. That's the playoffs. That's why I guess I'm not upset about it, because I understand that aspect of the game. Your backup quarterback's in. Your running back, I mean, Smallwood was inactive during that playoff run last year all the way to the Super Bowl. So, and he's in having meaningful carries. That, I mean, they don't really have that much faith in Josh Adams besides the number. I know the numbers argue otherwise, and that's why people are upset about it, but they have their reasoning for that. You know, he's one of the worst throw-down backs in the league, honestly, though, in short yardage carries, too. So, I mean, they did what again, those guys are in their positions they are for a reason. I'm not really going to question it that much just because of my admiration for the coaching staff and what kind of job they've done. I mean, this is the reason why that's the first coaching staff in Philadelphia Eagles history to have a Lombardi trophy in their building. So, I mean, you played a Hall of Fame quarterback. You played arguably a Hall of Fame head coach in Sean Payton, and you dogged them all the way to the end. Instead of a 48-7 colossal loss, you dogged them all the way to the end, so it really was the final play that ended the game.
Yeah, and I think the defense did a really good job shutting down the run game for the most part. You know, they held Kamara to 71 yards on the ground, Mark Ingram to only 53. I thought the defense was phenomenal yesterday. But looking,
it's amazing. It's just amazing how different the defense is when you plug in a guy like Timmy Jernigan.
Yes,
by no means is he an elite player either. He's a very solid starter. When this team has their core, when it has their starting units in, when they have those guys in, like, because the defensive line in Jim Schwartz's system matters the most. So when you see a guy like Tim Jernigan back next year, because I fully believe they'll structure his contract and have him back next year healthy. When you see a healthy Derek Barnett next year, when you see a healthy Josh Sweat who will contribute in some kind of role, at least, even if it is a situational pass rusher, when you get Michael Bennett back, because I believe they bring him back.
I agree.
For a year or two. When you maybe convince Chris Long to come back for another year, because I don't know if they're going to bring Brandon Graham back. I just don't think that contract's going to be too rich for what they're trying to do. Especially with given, I mean, this, if they really do their focus on the Nick Foles situation, I don't see how Brandon Graham comes back, because they have no money to negotiate with Graham at this point if they do decide to franchise tag Nick Foles, because from my understanding, he's fully going to try to test the open market. So if they do decide to franchise tag Nick Foles, you have to say goodbye to Brandon Graham at this point, because they're just never going to have a point in money and time to re-sign him. So I think they need to go into the draft and get what they have. Three picks in the first two rounds. You need to add another defensive end, because Jim Schwartz's bread and butter is pressure. And the second year under him, they were able to do that consistently. This year, they kind of faltered at some points, and that's why the team finished the way they did, because Timmy Jernigan came back, and the pressure on the defensive line was getting where they wanted to get in terms of getting to the quarterback. Even though the sacks weren't producing, they were still hurrying each quarterback, making them make bad decisions, and improving the secondary play because of that. So when you add those guys back to the defensive line next year and add more talent to it, and it's healthy, especially Derek Barnett, because I know he will play a pivotal role next year if he plays all 16 games. He could definitely get after the quarterback. It's going to be a whole entire different defense line next year. They just need that defensive line to be healthy and playing at full capabilities. And also, if they could restructure Roddy McLeod, or if they go ahead and replace him with an adequate safety that could play a full 16 games, this defense is going back to the level they were when they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more on Timmy Jernigan. And even Fletcher Cox, you know, attested to that and said, you know, his life was made so much easier as soon as Tim Jernigan came back from his injuries. And, you know, it showed on the field. And I think Tim Jernigan is going to be here for the next few years. I definitely think they'll, you know, rework his contract, even though they voided the guaranteed money. They'll definitely work some money in for him so that he stays here. But it's interesting you bring up that they should get a defensive end in the draft, because, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, O-line, running back, safety. But I could see them definitely going after another young defensive end to pair with Derek Barnett if, you know, Josh Sweat ends up just being kind of a rotational guy for Jim Schwartz. But that's an interesting take that a lot of people probably would overlook just based off the depth this team has had over the past couple years on the D-line. But looking at the O-line, Brandon Brooks, torn Achilles, his season next year could be in jeopardy. Apparently it's a 6 to 8 month recovery from everything that's been reported. I think that was a huge turning point in the game, too. As soon as Brandon Brooks went down, you saw it on a lot of guys' faces where they looked kind of defeated, and they kind of had to muster up their confidence again during the game to go out and fight for their guy that wasn't going to be on the field anymore.
See, that's the best thing about Doug Peterson's how committed he was to rebuilding the Eagles' offensive line when he took over for Chip Kelly, was the depth was actually adequate enough to at least, I don't want to say fix that solution, because Brandon Brooks is arguably the best player on this offensive line, you could say now. So that's just a huge loss to overcome. But they did have Wisniewski, who is, I mean, as we've seen, a reliable starter. So, I mean, it was tough. They just couldn't – I mean, Fletcher Cox missing his significant snaps. If you notice now that they started to target away from Rasul Douglas – when he was actually playing, because of how well he was playing. So you have to take your hats off to him, too. I think a lot of people are overlooking that. They stopped targeting him with Michael Thomas, and that's when Michael Thomas started really getting into his rhythm. But, I mean, you're right. They just came to a point where they just couldn't overcome the injuries anymore. It was just too many to overcome against a number one seed in the Saints that are, like, fully prepared for Super Bowl March.
Yeah.
It's just tough. It's just the nature of the league. The next man up mentality works to an extent, but it just was too hard to overcome this time.
Yeah, and that makes last year's Super Bowl run all that more special because of what they were able to overcome last year. And, you know, they tried to do it again this year, and hell, they proved a lot of people wrong by getting the divisional round and plugging some guys in. But it's nice to know that some of these guys they plugged in could be players on this team next year, most notably Crevon LeBlanc. What a freaking find he was for Joe Douglas and Howie Roseman.
That's a person you definitely have to remember next year. I've always been a LeBlanc fan because he did play well with the Bears sparingly. Mm-hmm. And especially in a scheme like Vic Fangio's scheme, when the cornerback play is probably to a lesser extent because he has the same type of mentality with shorts, except where he has his front seven generating all that pressure and the cornerbacks are just benefiting from that pressure. But again, he still played fairly well during his Bears tenure, so when the Eagles picked him up, I was excited about that because I know what kind of nickel cornerback depth guy he can be, and he was all that and more. He looks like he should be primed to be the Eagles' nickel cornerback moving forward.
Yeah, he looked really good. Jordan Hicks had a great game yesterday, which was nice to see because, you know, he's due for a contract. We'll see if the Eagles end up bringing him back as he hits free agency now, but overall, your assessment of the game and kind of just this season as it now comes to a close at the hands of the Saints and what this team has been able to do over the past two seasons?
At first, it was very disappointing. I think a lot of us questioned the direction of this team, if they were sucked into the Super Bowl hangover, which was, I thought, was completely fair thing to assess. I especially attested to that. I was definitely calling out the team a lot because I was upset that I thought that this is what I thought they wanted, the new norm, and they weren't showing it. But they did hear us and they changed it and turned it around real quickly. And I know people want to say it was a huge reason was the change at quarterback, but it really was just having a healthy quarterback overall, because Carson Wentz was not healthy and he was not playing. I mean, come on, man, he fractured his back, people. Let's give him some credit. That's a quarterback position where you have to move your back around and play at full health. And he was coming off an ACL and MCL injury as is already. So, I mean, people really forget how talented this guy is. I don't want to blame him for the record completely. I think a lot of people are doing that and writing the Eagles off because they don't think they can win with Carson Wentz, which is just insane to me. But just had a healthy quarterback back there who, again, as we mentioned in the last podcast, has the longest repertoire with Doug Peterson in this organization. Then they won because Doug knew how to win with Nick Foles, and that's what happened. But again, they showed a resilient effort, and they showed a heart of a champion. They showed a heart of a champion. Now, and I know a lot, they fell short of expectations, but because people want to repeat or at least be back in the Super Bowl, and losing the divisional round is not close to that. But I mean, overcoming all the injuries they did to get to 9-7, to get into the playoffs, to win that game in Chicago, because again, that is still the number one defense. And if you don't march down the field and score with Golden Tee right there, we're not even talking about the double doink. So again, this team is here to stay, people. I'm very confident about the future of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, and with this core being so young, like you said, Carson Wentz, Alshon Jeffrey, Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, Nelson Agholor, this offense is primed to be lethal next year, especially with, you know, the vendetta that Carson Wentz is going to have against a lot of people to come out and prove, you know, he's not injury prone and that he is the guy. Alshon Jeffrey is going to come back with a vengeance next year, like we said earlier, and I think next year could potentially be a career year for Alshon because he's going to come onto that field, you know, come training camp and be like, all right, I'm ready to go. You know, give me the ball in the red zone every single time, and I'm scoring, you know, the most touchdowns I have in a season because I need to shut some people up. I thought it was, you know, in a sense crazy that he kind of took the blame yesterday in his press conference, very humbled. But I don't put any blame on Alshon for that play at all because, you know, a couple things happen here and there. You know, Doug doesn't call that timeout early on for the delay of game. They kind of, I don't know if they botched it, but, you know, declining that penalty to go for the fake, that ended up being the fake punt, that kind of changed some momentum there. So if a couple things go here and there differently, potentially that Alshon play doesn't even happen. So you can't put all the blame on Alshon Jeffrey or even Nick Foles. Sure, Nick didn't have the best game. He didn't have that Nick Foles magic like he has, you know, for the majority of this season, but he played a decent game enough to where they could have won this one.
When the first quarter happened and they started to get hot, I started to get confident in Nick Foles, because when he gets in these hot rhythms, he usually doesn't shake out of them. You saw the Saints start. I think Dennis Allen called a masterful game plan against him, because Nick Foles does have his weaknesses, and it is in zone coverage. And he wasn't making some of the throws that we used to see him make, because he underthrew a lot of these throws.
Mm-hmm.
Most notably, the interception that from Marshawn Lattimore had on Zach Ertz. Yeah. That was completely underthrown. That was an ill-advised throw. If you hit him in front, you're going to get it. But, again, I mean, it was more a test. I mean, Cam Jordan said it, and we don't want to admit it, but they did get into Nick Foles' rhythm and mess it up, because he was stepping oddly in the pocket rather than stepping up into most of his throws. So, yeah, I mean, he played against a great defense. The Saints definitely turned their defense around this year. That's the reason why they're the number one seed, is mostly because their defense caught up to their offense. I agree. You can win with how Nick Foles played yesterday, absolutely.
Especially with the O-line. You know, Foles didn't get sacked yesterday, and even with Brandon Brooks going down, we said, you know, Wiz is a capable starter. He was a Super Bowl starter last year for this team on the opposite side of the O-line. And, you know, they protected Foles, and, you know, he kind of just hurried some things. He forced a couple things. And like you said, the Saints defense played a phenomenal game, especially in coverage. Their secondary really stepped up, where a lot of people were questioning just because of their youth, their inexperience, even the familiarity that Foles has playing against Eli Apple. I think a lot of people underestimated their defense, because the Saints defense has been bad for a few years, you know, leading up to the past couple now where they've improved. But I think a lot of people underestimated the Saints defense and put a lot of stock into they win games because it's Drew Brees. Sure, they do that, but their defense has been phenomenal this year, and it showed yesterday when they were able to kind of just shut down Nick Foles, as he only completed 18 of 31 passes yesterday for just over 200 yards, and he threw two picks. And that was kind of, you know, the determining factor there was the two interceptions Foles threw to the one that Brees threw.
Again, Krevon LeMond had an amazing, that interception was amazing on Drew Brees.
That was such a lot of people, I saw it on Twitter, Mike K from NJ.com kind of likened it to the Patrick Robinson interception last year against the Vikings, and I was like, it could happen. Like, that could be the thing that they needed to kind of just spark this team to go out and win this one, and unfortunately it fell short, but Krevon LeBlanc proved a lot to people. I think a lot of fans have kind of just, you know, latched onto him just because he is this guy that came out of nowhere and really performed well for this team, and I think he gained a big fan base. You know, he was in the Eagles send-off video that they tweeted out earlier today. So that just goes to show, you know, how much he's improved from week 11, which, ironically enough, against the Saints was his first game with the Eagles, to now, you know, that final game where he goes out, gets that interception to start the game off, and then just played a phenomenal game, and I think he's going to be here next year for sure, and how he's going to work some way to get him on a good contract. But I think that sums it up. You know, the Eagles lose this one 20-14. The Saints and the Rams, go Rams, because why would we want the Saints to win? I'm pulling for the Rams to play against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and hopefully Andy gets his ring. But the post-game shows aren't going anywhere. They'll be back next season for sure, and me and Connor will be working on some off-season things once free agency hits, the draft, and all that good stuff. So make sure you're subscribed to Underground Sports Philadelphia on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcasts, because the Eagles content is not stopping, even though this season's over. And don't forget, until this year's Super Bowl's over, we're still the defending Super Bowl champs. Connor, it's been a pleasure to kind of just kick this off. You know, we started it last week, but it's going to be a blast making this happen, and looking forward to some more Eagles podcasts with you here on Underground Sports Philadelphia, and the off season starts now.
Yep, bro, I'm excited. I can't wait.
But for everybody here at Underground Sports Philadelphia, this has been Eagles Saints post-game. The season's over, but we will catch you guys during the off season for sure, and we are signing off. Peace. I've been on some other